So pretty real, but now we hear you down the street. And you're living in the shade of a midday arcade.
All right, welcome to our special summer episode. Summer 2021, hopefully this gets released. We don't know when, maybe around 4th of July, maybe not.
Probably.
So I'm Hugh, and joining me is someone who is surfing with Qbert, Rob.
Always, yes. And who else is in this picture we're both looking at? We got some Donkey Kong and Junior with some... What's the snake from Qbert? Does he have a name?
Coily.
Coily, that's right, yeah. And a very... inappropriate Miss Pac-Man body that I never want to see again.
Yes. Miss Pac-Man's giant head on something resembling a Barbie body.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Joust and Popeye. That's I don't think the Joust guy has a name. Centipede and Millipede and possibly a bubble from Bubbles are all on the cover. And of course, Mappy. How could we forget our dear friend Mappy?
Yeah, so this is... So what magazine are we reading for this special episode?
We are reading Video Games, August 1983. The issue is titled Summer Fun. So this is about the hottest summer games of 1983. Now, of course, if it says August 1983, it means it probably came out in June 83, so it's start of summer. And it's a summer-themed magazine, and... it's a tough time for the video game industry right now.
Yeah.
Right. We're beginning of the crash. People don't really know that it's a crash yet, I don't think. They just know things kind of aren't right. But this magazine's trying to be optimistic about the new stuff coming out in 83. Really, this whole cover just screams summer 1983 to me.
Oh, yeah. 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 It's definitely hand-drawn and colored and not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go through here and call out a few things that seem kind of interesting. I'm not going to review every page. But the first page is like an ad for something you could buy today. It is a RAM upgrade for the Atari VCS.
Which they list some games here that would use it. So what, it's a 256K upgrade called the RAM Plus and two games, Tunnel Runner and Wings, which I have never seen before.
I have not seen them either. I don't recall if, Ferg has reviewed these yet. I don't think so, because they don't really sound familiar. But you could go onto a store today and buy something called Atari VCS Memory Upgrade, except it's now DRAM, and it's for the thing that is called the Atari VCS.
Yes. Yes. I did some Googling on this, though, and it's just a chip you could buy. Like, you could probably go on Mouser or DigiKey and buy this chip and put it in your Atari VCS. And I am not sure any homebrewers have made use of it. But this Wings game does look pretty advanced for, both look pretty advanced for VCS. So there you go.
Yeah. Maybe Skeleton Plus might use this. I'm not sure.
I would,
it's a first person maze game. It's,
it'd be nice if you used it. Yeah. Well, and... this is an ad. It's from CBS Electronics, which I don't think is like the network CBS.
I think it is a division of CBS, yeah. Because it says
interesting.
Copyright CBS Inc. You know, you're going to see other companies. There's another media company that has a games division later on in this magazine.
Yeah. Then we get through the table of contents.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no notes about that.
No.
I enjoyed the editorial, which is kind of previewing... that maybe things are not all right in the video game market. Mostly around, as they call it, glut of new products and deep discount, price rebates, deep discounts and everything. And they seem like they're optimistic about the arcade scene. But they do talk about there's like high levels of customer dissatisfaction right now.
And a lot of people jump into computers instead of consoles.
Right, and they worry about all the console upgrades and new versions, making consumers wary. Like, if I buy this Atari, is there going to be a new one like a month later that's better?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pretty strange times, and it's interesting seeing it through the lens of this magazine. And by the way, we'll have a link to this in the show notes, so please read along with us.
Yeah. Yeah, this is on archive.org, of course. This was what, just in general, this was a magazine as a kid I really liked a lot. Maybe it was just the covers. I don't know.
See, I don't remember this one as a kid. So, okay. Yeah, these are new to me.
Okay, yeah, I definitely read a lot of these as a kid.
This jumps to a Solar Storm for the 2600.
Mm-hmm. Just an ad with nuclear devastation, I guess.
Yeah.
I read through all the reader mail here. Sometimes I like to try and figure out how many of these people are still alive or what they're doing today, but this is an issue where a lot of people have fairly common-ish names, and I couldn't quite pin down. Even a guy here with sort of a somewhat unique last name, I found like three of him because of the internet. So I don't know what all these people are doing today. I hope they're all well.
Nothing's changed because never read the comments. They are all mean individuals. This one guy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gregory Baeger. How do you pronounce it? Baeger?
Barg. Yeah.
Barg. Let's talk about him. Here's what he has to say. What kind of magazine are you running? I own a TI-99 and would like to see something in your magazine about it. I thought it would be included in your February issue, but I was wrong. But again, I was wrong. So this guy just every month runs out and hopes that they're going to cover TI-99. Why don't you have anything on it? Also, on page 67 of Easy Home Computer in Feb, you show Apple's excellent graphics. TI has graphics just as excellent, air quotes, as theirs. And it's like, okay. Like, they respond saying, like, it's in this issue. So, there you go. And there's just a lot of mean comics. So, people have never changed.
No. Nope. Not at all. Yeah, this is a moment. Like, I found, like, a couple guys with the same name. And I don't know if any of them are...
Are there any of them in Miami?
I'm trying to filter to Miami, and I don't find anyone in Miami, no. There is someone in California that recently got divorced, and another one might be the same person in California who works on some BI software and has a Twitter page talking about, with 37 followers, talking about business intelligence.
So he's moved on from the TI-99.
Possibly. This guy looks like he could be the right age. Like if Gregory Barg was pretty young when he wrote this letter. I'm sort of picturing old Crank though, so I don't know.
Can you endorse him in TI-99 on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
See if that works.
I'll go to his LinkedIn page and see if he's impressed with that, then we know we got the right person.
And there's another one called Popularity Contest by Nick Bame or Bami. Mm-hmm. And he's just really, really upset about the coverage that the ColecoVision gets over the 5200 and how they have similar graphics and yada, yada, yada. But he's not really bringing up how the controller ruins it for the 5200. Right. So,
and it's not like either system was really a smash hit at the time.
No.
I feel like the ColecoVision probably sold better, but...
I think so, too.
Neither caught up to the 2600. Like, the 5200 is a rare system that did not outlast the system it was meant to replace.
Yeah, just insanity.
Right. Wii U is, like, the only other one I can think of off the
yeah,
top of my head.
Yeah, that is right.
Because the Wii got new releases after the Wii U.
Yeah, that is so funny.
Yeah. The one I thought here was someone was writing about Atari trying to prevent retailers from carrying third-party games, which is one of the things they sued Nintendo over later.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it's a good one. And then I said, oh, yeah, here we go. There's a letter about E.T. that I said I was going to write verbatim. And we're not going to read every article in here. Just the reader mail is like one of our favorite statements.
It's very juicy, yeah.
Yeah, so Chris Parker in Tustin, Texas. I feel like it's supposed to be Austin, don't you?
I feel like that's a typo.
All right. I have been interested in buying E.T. for the Atari. The kids in school said you can never win at it. Is this true? Question mark. Also, I love the new arcade hits Time Pilot, Frontline, and Joust. Could you tell me if these games are coming out as cartridges? They tell you, they refer to a previous issue to review of their ET review. ET is in fact winnable. But if the kids in school said you can never win the game, I would believe that that's a thing the kids at school said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was my favorite.
And then pretty much told them to buy a Coleco or a 5200.
Yes. If you want Frontline or Time Pilot. Joust was on the 2600 too, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was probably my most played game on the 2600. It's a very good port. But it is better on Coleco.
Yeah.
But it's probably one of the best games for 2600, I think. Can we talk about this next ad for a little bit?
Okay. I did not take notes on this one, but I'm happy to talk about this.
Yet. Okay. So the next page is an ad for an Atari game, Arabian. And it's funny that they have this guy sitting in front of it awkwardly. And apparently he's a professional video game. Well, it doesn't use the word professional, but
yeah,
they're alluding to that. And his name is Eric Jenner, one of the two. And he's been playing video games for 5 years, it says.
Okay.
And actually for 83, that is impressive.
Yeah, he's been playing since 78,
right? Yeah. And it says, you know, pretty much, I like this game so much, it really makes me want to up my score in it over and over again. And then it lists his high scores for... his world record scores for Millipede, Dig Dug, Roboton, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty much using this guy's scores as cred for Arabian, which I just thought was so interesting.
Yeah, it's sort of early video game celebrity, right?
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how many of these scores are real, because like back in the day, people fabricated, you know, we're learning this now, how like, a lot of these early arcade scores and early 2600 scores were just totally fabricated.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I had been playing video games for 5 years when I was 10. So, so there you go.
Right, but I mean, you couldn't have 20 years of playing video game experience in 1983.
No,
right?
No, I know, just
like
you
get
funny.
A Headhunter ad that's like, "Hey, do you have 20 years experience with this technology that's 2 years old?" Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been mining Bitcoin for 30 years now.
Yeah, so I don't know. I did look when I saw this ad. I was mostly interested in whether or not he got caught up in some like price faking, score faking controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not find anything to that effect. So I don't know. Again, I don't know like how well these records have held out, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like they're completely fake.
And it is funny that this is an Atari ad, and at the bottom they have to say, you know, Robotron and Moon Troll are trademarks of Williams, you know, and stuff like that. Like, they're actually advertising other companies at the same time.
Now, what's funny is if you look at his Moby Games biography, because he went on to become a developer, the picture of Moby Games, his portrait, is from this ad.
Yes, that's great.
Yep. That's what he does. Yeah, but he worked on... looks like he started getting into programming around 1990, working on a number of ports, you know, Shanghai, Miss Pac-Man, and then worked on like Checkered Flag and Trevor McFerrin, the Crescent Galaxy.
Huh.
So there you go. And does some indie iPad and iPhone games today, it looks like. But
maybe we'll get him on the show.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to him.
No, I mean, again, like, I was, like, I really was just sort of, you know, again, my concern is there's, like, a Billy Mitchell or Todd Rogers story behind him, and I couldn't find anything like that, so.
Yeah, yeah. So if we ever have him on the show, hopefully he's a good human being. We'll start at innocent and go from there.
And he still has, so he, according to Twin Galaxies, if you trust Twin Galaxies, I'm, of course, a little, He's eighth in the world at Robotron, and his score is 600 points higher than what's listed in this ad.
Okay.
So I guess that's his peak Robotron performance. The thing he's highest ranked in right now, he's number 3 in the world at Moon Patrol.
Huh.
And that is the same score that's listed in this magazine.
Interesting. Wow.
Millipede, his current Millipede score is like double what's in this ad. So there you go.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. And we move through, boring Gyrus ad.
Yeah, there's some ads that I'm not going to bother talking about. The Gyrus ad, you don't even see what the game looks like. So.
Yes. And then Saturday morning cartoons with Donkey Kong.
Yeah, they're previewing Saturday's Supercade. No, Saturday's Super Arcade is what it's called. Which, for some reason, I never liked this show. You would think I would be like the target demographic for this, but I really did not care for this show very much.
I watched it just because it was an arcadey thing, but I don't think I really liked it. They call it out by totally changing the story. Like, the reader's like, that's not the story of Donkey Kong. And they're like, well, I mean, we had to make everyone nice and likable. What do you want from us?
Yeah. Like, there was recently an interview with the animators or writers for the Legend of Zelda cartoon. I guess the writers.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they'd never even played the game.
Oh, that's very accurate.
Yeah, they were just writing something. Later on in this section, they have a note about a line of Atari beach towels.
Really?
Yeah, you gotta go past the Solar Fox ad.
Okay, scrolling down. In the blips. Oh, yeah. Throwing in the towel.
Yeah, so they got Frogger, Turbo. I guess these are Sega beach towels. I think I said Atari. These are all Sega brands. They are suggested retail price $6.
Love it. I would definitely love that.
If you had one of these today in even moderate condition, I think $6 is the very low end.
A very low end, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Donkey Kong cereal, which I do remember.
Yeah.
Chances. Yeah, I mean, I liked all the video game cereal. I actually thought they were pretty good, especially the Mario and Zelda one. But chances they were carcinogens, almost 100%.
100%, yeah. So my youngest kid bought some Minecraft cereal recently, but hated it. It's cinnamon. It's basically, it's kind of like Apple Jacks, but with marshmallows.
Okay.
It's not good. But I had to finish it because she took like one. She literally like opened the box in the aroma.
She noped out of it.
She said she's not. She said, I'm not eating this.
That's funny.
If I was still going to the office, I would have made cereal bars out of it.
That's funny. That's a good idea, actually, if there's already marshmallows in it.
Yeah.
Then kind of a store ad for some home computer games and accessories.
I think the thing above it to me is much more interesting.
I kind of skim right past it. What is that? What's the big show article?
This is a thing you put in front of your TV to make the screen look bigger. It's called the Beam Scope. I looked this up. This is a product that was actually sold. It goes anywhere from $60 to $300. And it's a giant magnifying glass for your TV. So you don't buy a bigger TV because, again, this is 1983, right? You can't go to Best Buy and buy a 72-inch TV or whatever. I don't know what. What size of TV can you buy at Best Buy now? 100 inches? I don't even know.
Something like that. But do you really want an electric gun magnified into your face?
I mean, do I know the risks of that in 1983? I don't think so.
I don't know.
There are ashtrays and cars, right?
Like, true, and airplanes, yeah.
So is this the worst thing you're going to be subjected to in 1983? I mean, there's still asbestos.
True, yeah.
So, yeah. Later on in this section, I'm going to go past this.
Yeah.
There's an ad for Blue Max, but I don't care. The next section here has a thing about voice controls for the 2600 and 5200.
Now, this is one I skimmed through, so you're going to have to talk this through. Are they talking about the chips and a program in it?
Right, so this is Atari and Milton Bradley working on a voice synthesis and voice recognition attachment for the 5200. So as an example, right, they say that with like a baseball game, like with Atari baseball, you could tell the fielder to throw the ball to first base.
Okay.
This obviously did not happen. But like, are we at a point with video games today? If I'm playing like MLB, what's it called? MLB The Score? What's the series called?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea.
Something like that. Today on PlayStation 4, if like my outfielder catches the ball, can I yell into the PlayStation controller, throw to first base, and he throws it to first base?
I don't think so.
And this is 40 years later, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So clearly this did not pan out. But they mentioned plans for 18 games over the next 3 years that support this ability.
This guy's from Detroit. I just looked him up, but I couldn't find anything.
You sure there's only one of him?
Well, there was some younger people, so It's definitely not him.
Definitely. Okay. Well, if that's the right person, you should track him down.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, find out. I wonder how much of this technology just exists somewhere. Like this would be quite a find. We'd have to send this to like Hartford Games or something to break down if we ever stumbled into one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
So that to me was like just shocking. Like that this was a thing. It overshadowed the much larger article about Sword Quest.
Yeah, yeah. What about joining the Columbia House Video Game Club?
Yeah. This is, you know, Columbia House, of course, was one of the biggest scams of the 80s and probably, I don't know, I guess they must have gone on to the 90s. Columbia House was around until Napster was invented, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So you get one game for $4.95 if you join up for the club and buy two games at retail price.
At full price, which is probably $60 at a time when games were being cleared out for $4.99 everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, Columbia House tried the video game thing, man. I forgot that this existed because I never would have done this.
I didn't know this existed either. Just insane. And Video Anon.
Yeah, this is a real thing. VidAnon. I can't tell if this is real or a joke, but this is a video game addiction rehabilitation kit. It's not a mod. VidAnon. If I asked you what that is, you would assume it's a modern day internet conspiracy theory, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But apparently you get a button that you're supposed to wear and they're not supposed to let you into the arcades if you're wearing it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're actually addicted, you're going to put that button on.
Yes. I think it's a joke gift because it comes with like a Chinese finger puzzle. Okay. That's supposed to keep you from playing video games, I guess. Unless you get that Atari voice activated thing that we just talked about.
True, yeah. Yeah, I can't figure out if this is a gag or not.
It comes with a bumper sticker that says, I am a video abuser, which you for sure do not want to put on your car.
No. Wow. VidAnon. I don't like Googling this. But I know...
Yeah, the address is a P.O. box in California. I don't know, man.
Yeah, this is a strange one.
Then they have a little thing here about this kid if you want to reprogram Atari games. It's similar, you know, Japan had things like this for the Famicom disk system, right?
Where is that?
It's below.
Oh, Vietnam. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the thing to reprogram 1500 cards. And then some piece of performance art, I think. I think it's performance art called Mike Builds a Shelter. It's a bomb shelter themed video game. It's actually like a Commodore 64 that he crammed into an arcade cabinet. And it's part of some, I don't know, artsy thing that I don't understand about, I don't know, the Holocaust, nuclear Holocaust, right? Mm-hmm.
Weird. Yeah,
I don't get it.
Yeah, I kind of skimmed right past that one. And I went straight to the Video Game First Annual Player's Choice Awards, which sounds like something that's still happening.
It is. This is a forum where you just write the names of games onto a piece of paper here, and you mail it to video games, and I guess you're nominating. There's no categories. It's arcade and home. Those are the two categories.
And this looks like it was created by a fifth grader.
I was going to go third grader, but yeah.
I mean, wow. Not the best artwork here.
Yeah, I might design a website that looks like this, actually. Someone trying to sell you books. We don't need to know about books.
No.
War Games. There's a several-page review of War Games, which is a movie I watch pretty often, maybe every other year or so. Mm-hmm. Like, it's smart because if you work in like computer security, a lot of things in War Games are still relevant today.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, in here, it talks about how a lot of people, when this movie came out, thought that this was just complete science fiction. Mm-hmm. And right around the time it came out, there was like a 6-minute news segment of like something like this becoming close to happening and all that stuff. And yeah, it wasn't far off. I mean, not the tic-tac-toe part that's kind of science fiction, but everything else, not far off. Using a modem to hack into, you know, government systems. I mean, that happens daily, I think.
Yeah. Well, and figuring out the password to a system by, you know, it's not really social engineering, but it's like studying the life of the person who you're trying to hack and figuring out what kind of password they might pick.
Yeah, that's what like Facebook surveys are pretty much used for, just collecting data for that stuff.
Where did your parents meet?
Like, exactly. What was your first car?
Tell us all your grandparents' middle names and we'll give you your zodiac sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the one you were talking about before, Fox Games, right?
Yeah, not to be confused with Fox Interactive. There's a gap of a couple years between Fox Games and Fox Interactive. So this was when Fox, the media company, decided that they wanted to take some, you know, licenses that they had, some IP they owned, and create 2600 games. They picked some weird ones like MASH, right? Which is not an action game. I mean, it's in a war setting, but it's not like dudes running around shooting people, you know. It's a serious sort of, you know, dark comedy, serious show.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great pick, but it really got me thinking because during this gap between like Fox Games and Fox Interactive, Fox would acquire a lot of IP like Alien or The Simpsons, right? And I think they may have tried an Alien game, but like, can you imagine like how different it would be if there was like a competent game studio that had been working for years building Simpsons games instead of just licensing it out to whoever, you know, was willing to do it.
That would have been nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just a totally different world.
And The Fall Guy, I forgot about that show.
Yeah, I don't remember if there was actually a game for The Fall Guy. I don't recall one at all.
I don't remember the show. I just remember the intro, him standing on top of an airplane or something.
So he was a stuntman? Was that the premise?
I have no idea what it was about. I literally just remember the intro and thinking, can we just put on cartoons?
And I think the A-Team might be one of the other IPs they did a game for.
Nice. Always a good choice.
Yeah. Well, the game was not good. But it's a good... that's at least an action thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, MASH is such a weird one to do a game for.
Yeah, because it could just... Is it like a surgeon simulator?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Then they get to a review of... Starcade, you know, one of my favorite TV shows, talk about it a lot on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looking over the Starcade, and they talk about like how the games work and how they pick contestants and how they choose what games, you know, to feature on the show. And it kind of got me thinking, like, you could never do this for modern games because it's like, hey, you get 1 minute to try and score points in Grand Theft Auto 5, right? I can't remember if it's points, there's money you have. How much money can you earn in 1 minute of Grand Theft Auto 5? And after like 4 minutes, you've made it through the intro, right? Like, there's no game. I can't think of a modern game where it's like, I'm just going to start it and I press the start button and I'm playing right away.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't really happen anymore.
But there is some cool technical information in here about how they stream the output from the arcade cabinet to the TV screen.
Oh, they said that?
What? Yeah, it's in here. Yeah, they talk about it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because they don't just have like a camera, you know, pressed up against the screen because you can't, you know, you don't want to get in the way of the player.
Yeah, yeah.
So they talk about the engineering they did to stream it out to another monitor. It still looks kind of junky because it's basically being pumped out to another monitor and then a camera's pointed at that monitor. So it still has like the camera looking at a monitor effect.
Yeah, this wasn't a live show, so it probably all went to film. They couldn't just go straight to analog tape or something, like some RGB input. But
yeah. And being a game show, there's probably all kinds of goofy rules about like what you can and can't do. So anything that looks like you're editing it or producing it after the fact is probably a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got some strategies for baby Pac-Man and others.
Yes. The tip for baby Pac-Man is basically be good at the game. In fact, when we shared this article on social media, the Padokan podcast replied and they said their baby Pac-Man tips are basically tip, get good at pinball, avoid being bad at pinball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's basically the tips.
This is a full color magazine, and even the background color of this particular article is color, but the photos in the tip section are all black and white.
It's weird, yeah. It's salmon colored pages with black and white photos of these games.
Pole position, don't hit anything. It's a good strategy.
Yeah, solid. Yeah.
Be fast. Don't hit stuff.
It's driver's ed. You turn the wheel. Yeah, thanks. don't drive through puddles. That's one of the
there you go. Yeah. Bagman. I don't know that game.
I do. It's weird. First of all, the screenshot they have is sideways. So whoever produced this didn't know the game either.
Oh man. Okay. And even when I turn my head to the side, I still kind of don't know which way is up.
Yeah, it's like a cropped screen. It's really bad. I don't know what they're doing here.
Do you remember back in these magazines? It was more like in Computer Shop and stuff like that. The big cones they would try to sell you to take pictures of your computer screen. Like one end you would put the lens in and the other end would be the computer screen. So it's like 15-inch version, 17-inch version.
I do not recall those.
Those were really strange. Star Trek.
I have to play Bagman sometime. I have to see if I have it on a collection first. It's I'm not sure really what to compare it to. I mean, you're basically for whatever reason you're an escaped criminal, and you're in some mines and you're like trying to steal bags of money that are in the mines because I guess this is a money mine.
Oh, yeah, I know those.
You're right. You're being chased by police, and there's, like, ladders and elevators and stuff. So
that's where money comes from, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you just dig it up from the ground. It's in a sack with a dollar sign on it. And you're trying to steal the money from the mine while being chased. It's a little tiny bit like Mappy, but it's not really like Mappy.
I mean, games really haven't come that far. I mean, you could play the most modern Tomb Raider, and you're in this old ancient tomb or Uncharted. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been opened in 3,000 years. And it's like, oh, fresh fruit and ammo. Cool. I needed both of those things.
Yes. How convenient that there is ammo in this abandoned mine.
Yeah, yeah. Williams Bubbles, very popular game. Some strategy on that.
Yeah, I never really understood what you're supposed to do in that game.
It's one I haven't played too much. And, Sea Chase? I don't know that one.
That is an ad.
Oh, okay.
I
should have known because it's color.
It's an unrelated article in the banner headline kind of situation here where it's a really strange ad placement. Like this is the worst section of the magazine. The tips are terrible. The pictures are bad. And there's just illogical things like sideways screenshots and random game ads kind of hiding in there.
but a very good two-page ad for Star Wars Arcade 1983, which would have been coming arcade out like that month. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Oh, I kind of want to frame this. It's nice. Put it next to
my this would be a good poster. If you could get this as a continuous page, it would be a really nice poster.
It's one of the only good, pieces of art in this magazine. I was shocked that in the next coin-op shop, where they go over new cabinets, Mad Planets is in there, which I don't think was widely distributed right before the whole King of Kong movie kind of blown up retro collecting. Mad Planets became very, very expensive, and I think it still is.
Okay.
It's not that, it's not a bad game. It's not the best, but it's not worth the money you'd spend on it now. And
I was going to pick that for one of my summer in the arcade picks, but I tried it real quick in MAME and said, oh yeah, I don't like this game. I remembered right away that I just don't like it at all.
Well, doesn't it have a spinner like in MAME? I don't know how well that would work out.
That was probably why. Like the controls were definitely not good. No. But I remembered that when I did play it in the past, I just wasn't a fan.
Yeah, yeah. The cabinets are so expensive. We got Bubbles in there again.
I want to say that this arcade preview section, like in the intro, they basically say all these games are disappointing.
Oh, really? Cosmic Chasm. I don't know if I know that one either. Do I even know what video games are?
So I remember seeing this. I have to, maybe I saw it on Starcade. Because the screenshot they have, I remember this game. I don't think I've ever played it.
It looks like a beautiful vector, like a multicolored vector game.
Yeah, it looks, I remember it looking kind of nice. I have no memory of playing it. This is when I found out it was like never released and this was just a fever dream.
In the ad, or whatever this is, review. I have no idea what is even happening anymore.
This is a preview. Okay. This is previews of arcade games coming out.
Okay. Well, the picture of this cabinet is, it has one of those, like, you know how when you go into the sketchy arcades and they put the bar across the coin door?
Yes.
So people don't crowbar it open. It has that and a padlock on it. Like, they didn't even get a nice cab for this. And this thing is new.
Yeah. I think it's a modified Dragon's Lair cabinet.
It looks exactly like Dragon's Lair. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think is going on. I think it's a modified version.
So it was probably a kit. Wow.
Oh, you know what? I think maybe I saw the Vectrex version of this. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But wait a second. But that can't be Dragon's Lair because Dragon's Lair didn't come out yet. And...
It even says in the article that we're waiting for Dragon Slayer. So this is the same. They basically had one cabinet template.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. So they probably had this cabinet design for, you know, their various games. So they use the same. I mean, this is the exact same cabinet as Dragon Slayer. I really can't tell the difference at all. Other than it says Cosmic Chasm, right?
Yeah. Interesting. Money.
Don't remember this game at all.
Not at all. Does it have a pulp manufactured by Zacharia? Did I pronounce that right? Wow.
An Italian company known for innovative pinball machines.
Obviously, yeah. it doesn't look like a bad game. I mean, it's all just pictures, but really nice looking cabinet. Vampire? Ever hear of that game?
Nope, it looks bad.
Again, cool looking cabinet. It looks like Darkstalkers or something. Bad, yeah. It's kind of an isometric. I don't know.
Yeah, right. So as they mentioned, they're like, you have to bite 6 people before sunrise. If you come into contact with anything sacred, then you die.
That sounds like an awesome game.
It's a little, you play Dracula like on Intellivision?
I can't remember. Intellivision's because of the controller thing. Intellivision, it's one I rarely play.
It's a similar premise that you have to bite so many people and then get back to your tomb.
Oh, I bet this totally set off the satanic panic back then.
Yeah, I'm sure it did in some towns.
Yeah.
Some arcade operators maybe didn't buy it at all because, you know, they were scared of backlash or whatever.
Yeah. Racer Rocket.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
And then Food Fight. Finally, something we know.
Something good, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one of my favorite arcade games. And I like the home ports, too. The home port, the 7800 port.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Congo Bongo.
Fun game.
Yeah. That has not been on Arcade Club yet.
Really? We haven't done Food Fight.
No, we have done Food Fight. We haven't done Congo Bongo.
Oh, Congo Bongo. Okay. Thank you. I don't like Congo Bongo. It looks awesome. I remember being just blown away at how the graphics looked when I saw it. But man, this is, I'm okay. What's your opinion of the play controls on Congo Bongo?
Not awesome.
Okay. Good.
But again, it's pretty popular, so I'm sure we'll give it a chance on Game Club sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm willing to give it another chance, but I just remember really having a hard time with the controls. Because the next few sections, there's a lot of text, so I'm not going to read a lot of text. But the next section is about things that are not arcade games in arcades.
So pinball.
Pinball.
Grand Slam. And the best dome hockey. This is like the preview of the 1984 USA versus USSR dome hockey.
Yeah. Czechs with two X's hockey. I wrote down that I was shocked because I thought these things had been around like since the 70s. Were there like other variations of this before 1983?
I don't know. I mean, there's definitely been many since. They still make them new, but it feels like a very 80s thing.
Okay. It looks very 70s to me, but I guess coming off like, you know, the big upset win in the Olympics or whatever. Wait, that couldn't have been eight.
That was 84.
I thought that was 80.
Was it 80? We don't know.
Well, let's think about it. Wait, hold on. We boycotted the Summer Olympics in 1980 because that did not help Jimmy.
Yeah, it was 80. It was 80.
So it would have to be 80 because, like, the Soviet Union then. I'm pretty sure it was 80.
Yeah. And then, the Miracle
Neither
on
of us
Ice
are big hockey fans.
Or whatever. No, I don't really sports, but I think it's the 84 one. That's the very sought after one. For dome hockey. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Listeners, please feel free to write in. And sorry about, like we always say, like, we don't research this stuff. We're just two guys on the internet.
But I should know what year the Miracle on Ice happened, right?
I mean, yeah. Maybe.
All right, hold on. Miracle on Ice was 1980 Winter Olympics.
There you go.
So I was just saying that probably kicked off more interest in hockey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Next, we got computer games?
Yeah, computer games. And Zach actually had sent our notes here about Munchman for the TI-99. So that whoever was complaining about lack of TI-99 coverage, here you go. There's a Munchman review. And Zach at least says it's it's a reverse Pac-Man. So you're laying chain instead of eating pellets. In that he disagrees with their complaint about stiff controllers on the TI.
I think Zach should write them a very strongly worded letter.
Well, if you find that Michael Fine guy, we can, you know, we can bring that up to him.
Yeah. What else? Lots of words here.
Yeah, these are very word heavy. Sections, and I was not playing a lot of PC games in this time, and I don't go back to like VIC-20 games very much. I probably should. I've written like one VIC-20 program in my entire life. It was back in high school for a project. And it was basically long story. I had to write a VIC-20 program. I'll save that for another time because it's a long story. and it seemed it was pretty. It didn't have a lot of memory. Like you could, it didn't take long to like. You know, write something that you could now not run.
We got Hunt the Wumpus in here. It's a game I've heard so much about. It's like in every video game history book and write up and whatever. And it's one game I've never played. I've played a lot of text adventures.
Yeah. They also do reviews of a few carts. You know, they got like Quicks or Kicks, whatever you want to pronounce it, for the 5200. Oink for the VCS. It's still called VCS here. Shark Shark for the Intellivision, a game. If we haven't done it yet, I probably will someday. A lot of cartridge reviews here. Mm-hmm. Anything that really jumped out that you want to talk about?
Oink, I definitely want to make that a Game Club game just because it was a brain cell that was dead in my head until I saw this write-up about it. I totally forgot about this game. I think I own this. So, there you go. It's like a Three Little Piggies 2600 game.
So, one thing about this section that's kind of weird is they have the addresses of every game company. When they mention a game company, they also put their address in.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you got to write them or drive
write them. Is that it? I'm going to write a magic and
order them a pizza or something. Revenge of the Beefsteak Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Great way to get around that copyright. Let's see. Frankenstein Monster. I'm scrolling through here.
GI Joe game that's kind of confusing. This other game called Coconuts that I don't understand at all and probably would get canceled today. I don't know.
And then there's a huge section for portable games.
Yeah, I want every one of these. I mean, everything here is just beautiful to me.
See, this is just something I don't get into, these LCD the very early portables. Even as a kid, I was like, I don't want this.
Yeah, I like having them on. I have a number of them, but they're like on display. Like I'm not going to, you know, fire these up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I leave a couple on like my desk at work. Usually if they're repros, I'll leave at work,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I have a lot of these there. I don't like go out of my way to collect these, but anytime I see them, you know, if they're a reasonable price, I buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I just think I like the aesthetic. I just like the way they look. I like the consoles look as like,
totally. That makes sense. Yeah.
You have like a Nintendo DS prototype on here. Did you see this?
Yeah. I think they call it the Game & Watch 2. It's a Donkey Kong one, right? Yeah.
It is, yeah. And it's basically a Nintendo DS.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Yeah, you got your it's the only one here that has the D-pad.
Yeah, everything else is just like buttons. Some have like mini keyboards.
And you have a King Kong tabletop and a Miss Pac-Man tabletop and a 3D binocular style racing game.
Mm-hmm. Thundering Turbo.
I feel like my cousin had that.
Did you have to hold? You had to hold it because there's buttons up by where your hands would be if you're holding it to your head.
Exactly. Yeah. That looks so familiar.
Oh, probably eye damage from this too.
Yeah, definitely. We come to the TI-99 section for Gregory.
Yeah.
Whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah, whoever it was, man. You can quit whining.
Oh.
I mean, do you think, like, he just gave up? He wrote a letter. He probably at least went to see if his letter was in there, right?
Have you ever, like, okay, I write, I mean, a lot of our listeners probably hear my letters I write to many different podcasts, but none of them are mean. They're all just inquisitive and whatever, asking them questions about their show or giving feedback. I've never felt the need to write just horrible garbage to a magazine or anything like that.
Or a podcast or anything. No, like I, not something you'd ever listen to, but I enjoy the Old School Wrestling podcast. It's one of the few podcasts that I will always listen to every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, you know, it'd be kind of nice if they covered more matches from GWF. It was a promotion that was on ESPN for a few years, and like a lot of 90s wrestlers got started there. There's like a lot of kind of before they were famous guys in there in matches. Mm-hmm. But they for whatever reason, never talk about it. Like, I don't know if they just never saw it or don't care for it.
But you're not going to swat their house because of that.
Right. I'm not going to write them an angry letter about why don't you cover more GWF matches.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they owe you something. Yeah.
Right, for this podcast, I'm not paying anything for. In this magazine that Gregory probably read for free in the grocery store, too, right? I mean, maybe he bought it. I don't know. It sounds like he's not buying it because it doesn't have enough TI coverage.
Yeah. And, I mean, this TI review is pretty good, the thing is, they don't, it doesn't sound like there are a lot of games for it compared to the other systems.
I've never really thought of it as being a gaming system.
Yeah, it always seemed like more of a word processing type system.
Yeah, I mean, Commodore, I think of games. Apple, I think of games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texas Instruments, I remember they had them in the library, and I just sort of viewed it as like, oh, there's that thing that's in the library that I guess does some, it was definitely not games. It was educational perhaps, but mm-hmm. never thought of it as a gaming system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it's not a bad review.
Your beloved Oink gets a full review, not a particularly awesome one, but
yeah. Get ready for that to be a game club game, even though it says interested level under the age of 10. So there you go. But man, I remember this game. I'll try it before game club, because I've had a few too many duds for game club.
Yeah, this is Reverse Breakout, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, yes.
Yeah, it's been a while since I played it, but it's on a bunch of Atari collections, though, so.
And what else? We're getting close to the end here.
Getting close to the end, yeah. Yeah, a lot of, we're getting to like ads, you know, ad territory. I do like the, what did I say here? Reader survey at the end. If you want to send that in. Okay. And, I'd like that they ask for your family income, and over 40,000 is like that's the highest, bucket on there, which I guess is all you need to know about like inflation since 1983.
Yeah. So under 14 to 21,000, 21 to 39,000, and then 40 and above. And, an occupation, if none, list parents. All and right. That's funny. So you might be asking your parents' occupations and how much they make every year.
Yeah. Seems like a really comfortable conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And, they're just asking your favorite segments of the magazine and, favorite new game, biggest disappointments. I mean, the gamer section could pretty much be, if you took this template and made it into a podcast, it would be a pretty good podcast. How much money do you spend on video games this week? Favorite new game, biggest disappointment, most challenging, all-time favorite. And it goes on and on. How long have you owned the game? How many hours per... I mean, it's a good, pretty good podcast setup.
That's what we do. We interview people, ask them for their parents' income.
Yes, exactly. And the stats, I think they're posting what people write in about, other than their so the next page is stats.
Yeah.
And so like pole position is 100%. So I think that means is that 100% of people for the like previous month, that was their favorite game.
Or it was on their list. I can't imagine 100% of people wrote in and said pole position was their favorite arcade game. It doesn't add up, because the next one's like 68%. So that can't be right.
Now I really want
I think it's that form where you list your five favorite arcade games, and they're saying okay. Like 100% of them had Pole Position, and 68% of them had Time Pilot, and 59.4% had Ms. Pac-Man on it.
See, I really want to take this all and put it in a table in Excel. I want to know the difference between the people that made 14 grand a year and the people that made 40 grand a year. What was their favorite game? What's the difference there? Do you know, is there a game that kind of breaks boundaries or anything, or is there a big divide?
That research has to exist today, right?
It has to. It must. And then we have some high scores that are probably fake.
Yeah, some probably fake high scores.
With full name and address. Yes. Well, city and state.
Cities, yeah, things that would be a really bad idea today.
So like Perry Rogers, who got 3 million on Food Fight, I'm going to LinkedIn you and call you out on your fake score.
Okay, you do that. I mean, some of these, they're just like not like I have no way of judging if like 278,500 on Frontline is a realistic score or a fake one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That person I could probably find. He's got a long name that I've never seen before, so it's possible that's.
I call him out,
Mr. Dude Desiree McCroney. That's probably one you might be able to find.
That's a good name. That is a powerful name.
It is, yeah. No, I mean, that's serious. Qbert, 17 million. I don't know if that's a lot. Robotron, 287 million. That seems fake. but I don't know what the Robotron world record is. Speak Easy? What was that?
I don't know what that is.
Well, Steve Stanger in Caledonia, Michigan, got 21 million on it.
I've never heard of that city.
And I've never heard of the game Wacko either.
But see, yeah, maybe you could just make up games and scores. Not just make up the score, make up the game too.
Yeah, I have some stuff to do this week now. Super Pac-Man, that might actually be close. Like, Super Pac-Man has, I seem to recall Super Pac-Man has a real, like, high score cap, and it's not very high. Yeah. I should have Googled more of these people.
We just end on two ads. Like flight stick looking thing for your VCS system that has suction cups at the bottom.
Yeah, and I have one of these.
And a Mappy. Yeah, that thing did look familiar. And a Mappy. And a lot of these games that they're advertising, if you send in a high score, you could get a free t-shirt, which in our previous episode, probably since we don't know when this will be launched, in my Tubin game that I chose, that also, when you are playing the arcade game, it tells you about sending your high score for a free t-shirt. You got to email all these people. This one's for Mappy, Evanston, Illinois. You know where that is?
Yeah, I just realized what street that's on in Evanston, and this is like, there's like a multi-million-dollar home there now. I'm just positive. Like,
they're all wearing Mappy t-shirts in there. It's Mappy money right there.
1549
and 6% sales tax. That's when Chicago still had a lower sales tax.
Well, this is outside. So Evanston is directly, it borders Chicago, and it's like one of the wealthiest suburbs.
Okay.
I mean, it's like it's just insanely rich. So no, it's not a multi-million dollar home, but there are apartments there that are probably far more than you'd believe. Uh-huh. It's right next to Other Brother Coffee House. I've never heard of that place, but it's probably changed its names every 3 years. Yeah, Other Brother Coffee House is where you're getting your free Mappy t-shirts. Again, right next to some condos that are, you know, more money than you probably have if you're listening to the show. No offense.
If any of our listeners has gone through this with us and has made it this far, please tell us any of the funny things that stick out to you from this magazine. Mm-hmm. Or if you have any other magazine recommendations, email at retrogameclub.net. Hit us up on Facebook. What is that one again? That is facebook.retrogameclub.net or Twitter at RGC Podcast. And Zach will get all of those.
Yes. Yeah, so thanks for listening, and if we haven't done our 100th episode, there's still time to do the 100th Ask Us Anything emails. So send an email at retrogameclub.net, and we will probably do your question, unless it's really bad.
Yes. All right, thanks for listening.
Bye.